Here's your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
All right, Ken. Greetings to everyone. Thank you for the Douglas Michael.
Amen. And we are in the, I guess I should go by Kenneth Allen then. Anyway, yeah. We are in the first week of Advent, so we want to wish everybody a holy and blessed Advent, and hopefully you're already being faithful and attentive, or watchful and attentive for the Lord in your life, and we'll I'm sure we'll mix that in as we go on today. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. We cannot do this without you, so thank you for all that that you do. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father is also the rector at the Malvern Retreat House, which I know you're pushing for the reference to St. Joseph's in the Hills at Malvern. And he's been out there almost 6 months now. And so those of you that have made retreats in the last few months, you probably bumped into Father while you were out there. But he is splitting his time. It wasn't a transfer. It was additional duty. And, yeah, we thank you for that, Father.
Father, yeah, two crowns.
Yeah, there you go.
Double pension plan. Out of this world. Just got to die.
Got to collect it. Amen. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group, although Father's time is much more limited than mine these days. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Open up after the daily mass, which begins at 8:30, so from 9 o'clock until roughly 4:30. On Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. We have a holy hour that concludes with Matt Talbot prayers and benediction. And then at 4 o'clock on Thursdays, some of us get together and pray the rosary before the shrine closes down for the day. So if you're going to come down, get in touch with us again through that Our House Ministries website and let us know you're coming. We'll make ourselves available to come over and meet in church. And we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Nicholas.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If somebody, God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we would love for you to have us, love for you to give us a call. We'll give you out the phone numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. As mentioned, we are currently in the first week of Advent, and we got a handful of Saints this week on Sunday the 3rd, St. Francis Xavier. On Monday the 4th, it was St. John Damascene. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Nicholas. On Friday the 8th, we'll have a holy day of obligation, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And on Saturday the 9th, St. Juan Diego. And speaking of St. Juan Diego, I think we're going to have a pretty good show. In the 5 o'clock hour, I have Joseph Julian and Monique Gonzalez will be on and talking about a great book that they've written about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and you're going to learn a lot, I think, that you weren't aware of, and how for a couple thousand years God was preparing the people of Mexico for the coming or the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So you want to stay tuned for that. So today is the feast day of St. Nicholas. So as is our tradition, when we have a saint of the day, that we usually start with. And Nicholas was born on March the 15th in the year 270 and would die on December the 6th in the year 343. And although it seems that we have the actual birth and death dates, we don't have a whole lot in between, I don't believe. Some of it's legend and what have you. But both the Eastern and Western churches honor him. And it's claimed that after the Blessed Virgin, he's the saint most pictured by Christian artists. So hopefully that's as St. Nicholas and not as he's probably better known today as Santa Claus. You can pinpoint only the fact that Nicholas was the 4th century bishop of Myra, M-Y-R-A, a city that was in Lycia, which was a province of Asia Minor. But other than that, there's not a whole lot known. He's probably best known for his generosity, and that there was a poor man that Nicholas knew of, and he had 3 daughters and no money for their dowries. And I guess in that situation, the girls probably would have ended up having to go into prostitution in order to survive. And 3 different times, apparently Nicholas would toss a bag of gold through the poor man's window and allowed each of the daughters to get married. And because of that legend, of course, St. Nicholas would come to be known as a gift giver, and as had his name twisted, and probably more familiarly known today as Santa Claus, again, because of his generosity portrayed by this holy bishop. So I know tradition, some people will put the kids anyway, will put their shoes out on the night of the 5th, and parents will go around and fill those shoes with candy. Personally, I don't know if I'd want to eat candy that's been placed in some dirty shoes, but I don't know. Kids and candy, I guess they'll eat it regardless of where it comes from, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what else do you have on St. Nicholas, Father?
Like, it fits in pretty well with the Advent season. You know, we were talking this morning at our reflection group, our contemplative prayer group, and last night about the comings of Jesus, the 3 comings. You know, he came in history, he's here in mystery, and he's coming in majesty. But the way we prepare for majesty and be ready is to be focused on the mystery of the presence of Jesus that's with us even right now, with all the listeners and all of us and all the tabernacles of the world, all the sacraments. And that's what the saints do. You know, they embrace the Word of God. They marry the Word of God. They do what the Father tells us to do. Listen to my Son, to the Blessed Mother. Do whatever he tells you. And there's no shortcuts or corner cuttings with the saints. They just take that word wholeheartedly. And I think about how he would give, you know, hiddenly. Almsgiving and prayer and fasting. The saints did all that. It's like that spiritual tripod, you know, put the 3 together. Something's going to happen to us, and do it hiddenly. And something will happen. It's going to be a reward. This is the promise of Jesus that, you know, the Father will reward you. And the reward is the Father himself, because that's what Jesus brings us to, the Father, by the gift of his Holy Spirit. So, you know, the hiddenness here of Nicholas, you know, in last place, that, you know, you try to he always tried to, you know, hide when he was given the dowries and throwing the gold in the windows and all, and then he was caught the third time. I often think about, you know, Holy Family Home, Ken, there was always a woman there. Virginia Shea, she was always trying to be hidden. If you had a cough, you know, I would find cough drops in my mailbox. But one day I caught her, and I said, you know, I caught you. And she would quote the gospel, "Father, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing." And I said, well, he also said, "Let your light shine before the Father." He said, "Yes, Father, but only at the divine exposure." And that's, you know, what happened to Nicholas and even Virginia Shea there. It was divine exposure. That we also be seeking last place and be hidden. That's where Jesus is. That's where he wants us to be. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. And to try to hide, you know, and all that humility. And let God expose us as he wants to. Because that's where we really find all of our peace and our joy, in the hiddenness of God the Father. If we want to experience the Father who's hidden, we too must be hidden. And that's the gospel truth. You know, whatever you do, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. When you fast, wash your face. When you pray, shut your door. And what the Father sees you doing secretly, he will reward you. And that reward is the felt presence of God. It's those spiritual delights. And the saints have that. They have an inner life, you know, with Christ. And the rest of the world outside themselves, it, like Paul said, it seems like rubbish. It's not really rubbish, you know, but compared to what's inside us, the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, everything we're looking for. We're trying to find it outside ourselves, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. It's so close to us. The journey's inward, not outward, where the dwelling place of God is. But these saints, they get these gifts. You know, Nicholas had levitation. He had bilocation. He could actually walk on water. And he just had this great love for Jesus, and it all stemmed from his spiritual life. You know, he had great generosity, and he could never outdo God in his generosity because the Lord's more generous than we are. And think about it, Ken. What do I have that I have not received and on loan? You know, I can never say this is mine. Nothing's mine. Everything is God's. You know, the chair I'm sitting on now, the phone I'm talking through, the stars, the moon, the clothes I'm wearing, the $2 in my pocket. It's his. But he shares everything with us. So everything is ours. But we have to know the source of it all. And he wants us to enjoy the pleasures of life. You know, not to be consumed in them where they become idols, but to let these pleasures, you know, lead to God. We burn out our spiritual receptors by, you know, just gauging in so much pleasures and everything instead of taking things in and experience that indwelling presence of God. That greater gift of all, the gift of his Son, the Holy Spirit. And these are what the saints really teach us. They experience so much. It's that mystery of Christ. You look at the lives of the saints throughout. You know, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You know, the devotions, the Word of God, the Scriptures, being inspired by other saints. The Eucharist, confession, Mass, adoration. I said last night, I really love this quote from St. Alphonsus Liguori about adoration. It was mentioned about benediction. Do we know what we have here? You know, in all the churches when we have our holy hours, that this is Jesus Christ right there in that little white host. And I was talking last night about the symbol of the humeral veil. I often think of that when I put it on. You know, it's so hard to get on and all. Sometimes it's put on backwards or upside down. But the symbolism is so beautiful because it shows that the hands of the priests are not touching the monstrance, you know, because he's not the one giving the blessing now. It's Jesus himself in that little white host. He's already there. The priest might make that sign of the cross, but it's Jesus blessing each and every one of us, as he said to Sister Faustina in the Divine Mercy, to tell the people that when the benediction is being given, that I myself am blessing the people according to the image of my Divine Mercy, that he's blessing us. How powerful that. Now, he needs the hands of the priests that are anointed. They're his hands but to confect the Eucharist. But now he's already there in that little white host. He's in that tabernacle, in all tabernacles of the world. And he beckons us to come to him in that physical presence of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. where all the blessings flow. But what St. Alphonsus Liguori said, he said, the Father delights in our adoration, and it's the very best for us, next to the sacraments. The sacraments. That's him. A sacrament is instituted by Christ to give grace. The grace is coming right from him. The priest is a screen. It's the priest at the altar. You look up at Jesus, when he picks up that host. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm looking at Jesus and the priest taking that bread and changing it into his body, taking that cup of wine, changing it into his blood. It's Jesus acting through the priest. We're instruments. But if that veil was lifted, Ken, we would all fall on our faces. We would prostrate. So, the saints, they lived the gospel. And fasting, he fasted from his earliest days. He only took nourishment only once in the evening, and that was every Wednesday and Friday. We don't have to kill ourselves. Just do a little self-denial. Pick up our cross. Follow Jesus. He's taken us somewhere. Live this mystery of his presence. I am always with you until the end of the time. Come to me. He's already here. And we'll be prepared. We'll be ready for that majesty when he comes. And we'll be fearless. We'll be looking forward to it. We'll be excited. Be stupendous. We'll be spectacular. The eye hasn't seen nor the ear heard. And be not afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to take you with me so that where I'm at, you also may be at the right hand of the Father. With all our loved ones, where all the glory lies.
Okay. Amen. And you're talking about the gifts that we're given, and that they're not meant just for us. And talked about that myself a little bit last night at our meeting. And to take time to reflect on ourselves and look at the gifts that we have and. Like you said, the gifts aren't meant just for us. They're meant to be shared. And, not all of us have the same gifts, obviously. And, God does that intentionally because he needs all of us to, fulfill different roles. He's not here in person. And so, there's times, even though I'm not an ordained priest, that I can be in persona Christi to, other people that I meet. And, I was thinking about it today because I came off the Schuylkill Expressway at 34th Street again. And it's been kind of odd. Like the last 2 weeks, there hasn't been a single panhandler out there. And I got off this morning, and the traffic was really light. And the light was green. I stopped anyway. I was waiting for the knucklehead behind me to hit the horn. And they didn't, believe it or not. But my friend Kelly was out there. And to have a couple of minutes, not even a couple of minutes, a few seconds to holler out her name and have her turn around and come over and ask for a prayer and tell her I would pray for her. And then ask about our friend Anthony. And, again, she got kind of teary and hasn't heard from him now in a couple of months. So, wherever he is, we hope he's okay. But it's that gift that I've been given to just be able to say hello to somebody, ask their name, and probably 98% of the people. And it's not because I'm any great virtuous person. I got to say that up front. But I'd say 99% of the people that come off that off ramp and see, the panhandlers and the addicts and homeless and what have you. They're probably scared to death to put the window down, and yet they're humans just like we are. That Jesus Christ lives in them as much as he lives in you and I. And, it's obvious that they all know each other. We were joking the other day about, I wonder if there's a time clock somewhere where they punch in and punch out, because you never see two of them in the same spot. And, to have that gift of knowing, and I believe when they say that they're going to pray for me, that they will. And, the few seconds of interchange that you get to have with them pretty infrequently just remind you how gifted I am. And, to have a roof over my head and employment and the friends that I have, the family that I have, and and where God has brought me, because there's not a whole lot of difference between them and I. I could very easily be one of them today if God hadn't done what he did for me in the middle of an alcoholic blackout some almost 32 years ago. And so to be able to share those gifts, those blessings that I've received with others, is it gives you a great feeling. And that's why I think Advent, this time of preparation for the coming of Christ, to Christmas, and it's a time to reflect. It's a time to repent, get to the sacraments. Was telling the guys in my men's group on Saturday, some of the things we can do for Advent, and try making daily mass. There's enough parishes and masses at different times that you can probably squeeze in a daily mass somewhere, at least one during the week if you're not going regularly. But try to get there every day and see the difference that it's going to make in your life. Between now and Christmas, make a sacramental confession and make a point to get there. And maybe as the new year rolls around, make a resolution that you're going to try to get there at least once a month, if not more frequently. I was blessed to go to confession earlier this week, and for penance, I have to do a corporal work of mercy. And I think it's something that you alluded to that earlier, that, that's something that we can all do, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. Don't wish it on anybody, but if you need to bury the dead, these little things that we can do, and then fasting, of course, which you talked about. And I know that when I was doing more fasting, it definitely made a difference in my spiritual life, and something that I'm going back to, because I that it's good for me. And a lot of the folks that are out there, the more popular speakers and those that are doing podcasts, the more and more, it's that daily self-denial. And like you said, it doesn't have to be anything great. You don't have to go 72 days without, or 72 hours rather, without eating, or, these extended fasts, or things that are maybe really, really difficult. But something as simple as, not turning on the TV, or not watching a particular sporting event, not having dessert, those little things, those little self-denials, are what help us and help me, I think, to grow in virtue and holiness. And that's what I think is beautiful about our Catholic Church and the liturgical seasons that we have. And a few times each year, the Church sets aside these times in order for us to think about these things where we may not do it normally.
Beautiful. I was thinking, Ken, too, about St. Nicholas. There's a couple traditions about him. One, when he became bishop, they were actually, they were looking for a bishop to make a new bishop. And they had a dream. One of the priests had a dream, and he shared it with the ones they elected. And he said, the first one that walks into church will ordain him bishop. That was the tradition. And it was Nicholas, and that's how I became bishop. The other thing that's worth noting is that the Bishop of Myra, and it was the time of Arianism, that denied the, that Jesus Christ was true God, And he kept his diocese really strong, that Jesus Christ is true God. And then they had the Council of Nicaea that really comes out that Jesus Christ, true God and true man. It's our profession of faith, the Nicene Creed, but that was 325. And he went up to Bishop Arius and slapped him across the face, because he denounced the divinity of Jesus Christ. He lost his patience, and they put him in jail. They stripped him of his office, but the Blessed Mother appeared to him, and somehow, some way, his office was restored again. But that's how important it is, to stand up that, Jesus Christ is our God and our brother. Everything he says is divine. Everything he says is true. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Bank on it. Take it home. Bet your life on it, because it's all true. His words. this is my body, this is my blood, you know, take and eat. This is a commandment, his last will and testimony. We need him. We need him. Someone said the other day, I don't know why this comes to mind, and they're talking at some story about how cold and the snow and all, and they need to go to Florida. Somebody was down in Florida, our buddy down there, Boston Bob in Florida, and this time of year it's starting to get cold, maybe little snow flurries are out there. But some years ago there was a commercial with Eastern Airlines, and the little boy rushes in to the house, and he's all filled with snow, his glasses are stuck to his face, and he says to his mother, Mom, I need a bed, I need a bed. And the next scene in the commercial is the airline taking off, Eastern Airline, taking off from Philadelphia and landing there in Florida in the sunshine. Oh, that always stuck with me. It's like, you know, in the storms of life, Jesus, I need your bed. And then, you know, we just fly into the kingdom, into the sunshine, the S-O-N shine of God himself who's always with us. But I don't know why. That just came to mind. I just wanted to share that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. And last thing to say about, you know, about Nicholas. I was in Springfield bringing for a sick call, and I was with Mike Norton, and we're looking at all the lawns, and all the decorations are out on the lawn. And, you know, you have deer, and you have snowmen, and reindeers, and every once in a while I see a little angel, but all these Santa Clauses. I said, where's the nativity scene? Then it hit me when you were talking, when you were saying that twist of the words, you know. St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, St. Nicholas. But you see Santa Claus on the lawns. St. Nicholas, who points right there to Jesus Christ, this true God and true man, Ken.
Amen. Brings us almost to the bottom of the hour. I want to give out the phone numbers. We're going to go take a break in a couple of minutes here, but the phone numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or toll free 888-343-2484. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break, but we can't do it without your phone calls. So any final word on Nicholas, Father, or you got him covered?
Yeah, pretty much so. Good, Ken. Thanks.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, I was listening to the podcast by somebody earlier today, or it was probably yesterday on my way in, and talking about how his family doesn't put up the tree until, I guess, Christmas Eve, and that, you know, the Advent season is, you know, supposed to be a holy time. And I'm on a search now for a good nativity set that I can put out in the front yard along with the, you know, the Christmas tree and the candy canes. So I heard that Kindy's is still open. I thought they had closed down there in South Philly, but I may have to swing by there in the next day or two and see what they have.
We got that one upstairs. Yeah. That we used to put on the altar at the annex.
Yep.
We don't use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, Patrick, you queued up to go to a break? All right, we're going to go ahead. We'll take the break a minute early, and then we'll take your phone calls. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Ann McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program in His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas Michael McKay. Reminder, if you haven't visited our website at inhissign.com lately, you can go and check it out. We put up a little ad up for Giving Tuesday last week, and of course, Giving Tuesday has come and gone, but maybe today could be Giving Wednesday, and consider making a small donation to the In His Sign Catholic Radio at our website. You can also sponsor this show on the Our House Ministries website. On the donate page, we actually have a link there to donate enough to sponsor one of our hours. If you're interested in doing that, go to the Our House Ministries website. While you're at inhissign.com, if you click on content and then podcasts, you'll see that we have all the shows recorded, and up until last Wednesday, all those shows are currently online. So if you miss a show or want to listen to another or listen to it again, you can go back and grab it on inhissign.com, click on content and podcasts. Also, Father and I are involved in a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs called the Calyx Society, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." And Father and I get together every Tuesday with a whole crew of people at the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, the former Bill Shea funeral home, where Bill Shea buried the dead when we raised the dead. We get started at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. Usually gets started a little bit after 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for 2 hours from 6 to 8. We have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour, during which we have prayer and confessions are heard, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. This month, that third Tuesday falls on December the 19th. All are more than welcome to come and join us the evenings for. We pray for those in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and all those that love them. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting should be tomorrow, December the 7th. The Glenside unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. That's my home parish. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass Saturday morning, followed by our Calyx meeting. And we'll be getting together on Saturday, December the 16th this month. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by their Calyx meeting. And they will be gathering on Saturday, December the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. Stop down and visit our friends Kate and Sheila and Tom are usually there. And stop in if you're in Wilmington. And as mentioned, my guests in the 5 o'clock hour are going to be Joseph Julian Gonzalez and Monique Gonzalez, and we'll be talking about their book Guadalupe and the Flower World Prophecy, How God Prepared the Americas for Conversion Before the Lady Appeared. It should be a very interesting hour. I encourage you to stick around for that. And We'll go to the phones, and we've
Ken,
got
Ken,
yo.
Did you mention the MI village?
Oh yeah, and I just saw Tim Renane sent out an email to all the knights as well. There's Militia Immaculata Village, and got started, I guess, back in August, and they meet on the second Thursday of the month, so they'll get together a week from tomorrow, December the 14th, out at the Blessed Carlos Acunas Center, which is the former Lower McShane area of the Malvern Retreat House, St. Joseph's in the Hills, and gather at 7 o'clock on the second Thursday of the month. Again, this month, that'll be December the 14th. I usually have a reading of some of St. Maximilian Kolbe's material with a little reflection, followed by a rosary, and then Father McKay offers Mass. So, again, that'll be 7 o'clock on December the 14th out at Malvern.
Yeah, adoration, benediction during the rosary. Yeah. Also, a lot's happening at Malvern. I just want to also mention we're at the Carlo Acutis, Blessed Carlo, and we hope someday we're going to be the national shrine there. You know, we have to have a saint, but I think that's coming soon. This young man just drawing the young people. Of course, we have the First Friday there at Malvern, First Friday Mass, and then we have faith sharing, and we have a nice breakfast. And there's so much going on, you know, the Spirit's at work, and in Malvern, St. Joseph's in the Hills. All about family, too. It's like Mary's really taking a bigger role, St. Joseph, you know, Jesus, the Eucharist. My vision was always perpetual adoration there, and I know we can do that. And it's just Christ-centered, you know. The throne is there, the tabernacle, the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. And it's about drawing all the families together, that one eternal family. We're eternal brothers and sisters of Jesus and eternal children of our Heavenly Father. Jesus told us so. So come visit Malvern, the beautiful grounds. We have chapels, you know, beautiful grass, animals. The birds are singing and chirping, and bunny rabbits and gophers and chipmunks. And, you know, it's just so peaceful to come into the holy grounds, the new Eden, you know, the new Garden of Eden, the new Eden Garden. So come one, come all. Visit our retreat house and community. Amen.
Amen. MalvernRetreat.com. I'll have all the information on upcoming events and retreats. All right, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to start with our good friend, Fruitland Bob.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Bob. How are you, brother?
Good, good. How are you?
All right.
I have to come outside to make a call because they say the metal roof of the mobile home blocks the signal. And it's cold down here today. It's 62 degrees.
62?
Yeah.
That's winter down there. That's about as cold as it gets.
It is, yeah. Yeah, Patrick said you mentioned my name. I hope it wasn't in vain.
Never.
You on the internet and it cuts out from time to time.
No, I don't. Do we mention your name today? We may have mentioned it last night.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, odd but God. Last Saturday, I you know went to 8:30 Mass. And my mobile home is about 3.5 miles from church. It's a winding road. I'm coming home and I lose all power steering, and then the engine starts to overheat. And I'm no mechanic, but this has happened before when I was passing through Buffalo, and I knew it was the serpentine belt that makes all the components spin, you know?
Mm.
So I go, oh, no. And again, this is like the third time God got me all the way to my driveway, and then the car died, you know? So, I mean, I know it's not odd. I know it's God. You know, three times that has happened to me, you know, where the car has broken down, but God has made sure I made it all the way home, and then it dies. So,
but
shouldn't
it got all the way to the mechanic so you could get it fixed?
Well, I wasn't taking the chance. I got AAA, so
yeah.
I called AAA.
There you go.
And,
they got it too. You know? Atta boy.
Yeah,
at
one time, I belonged to AAA AA. I used to drive people to drink.
You know?
I have another odd but God. I pulled off the off-ramp with my 1999 Chevy minivan with no front grill. And when I put the window down, the homeless people came over and gave me money.
Da-dum-bum. Oh, Bob. Miss you, brother.
I know.
Yeah.
So, well, it's good to hear from you. It was great to hear Patrick's voice.
Yeah. He's doing all right. We got to get him. He's got this huge microphone over there on his side, and can never get him to pull it down and chime in. He used to be a regular before he became our engineer, but one of these days.
Well, if he was one of my children, he would have been my favorite child.
All right, brother.
To hear you guys. Yeah. Take good
can
care
I say
of yourself.
Something?
Yeah, go ahead, Father.
Because I don't know. Sometimes I'm over talking. Bob, I want you to think about all the times that your car did not break down. Was that odd, or was that God?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, it's always
the
God.
The fact that car is still running is a miracle, you know?
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, happy Advent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Happy Advent.
Blessed Advent, and keep warm down there.
I will.
All right. God bless you, Bob.
All right, take
it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. That's the only call we had, Father. I know we...
Well, we'll have to put a pitch out there, Ken. I mean, what happened to all of our callers?
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
So many great callers, so much faith sharing. I was thinking about last night, Ken, when we do our Calyx meeting and we have our faith sharing, our Honor God experiences. We went all the way up to about 10 to 8. You know, powerful experiences of God's presence, and we need to hear it. And I just remember sitting there last night, Ken, and thinking about, wow, you know, I'm touched with hearing the experiences of others, of other brothers and sisters that are experiencing God. And, you know, someone said that, you know, our stories connect us. Mm. And that word history, you know, that our stories is God's history. It's divine history because he's present to us in every aspect of our lives. And that I like the word history. His story. That my story is his story and all of our stories. But, yeah, anybody out there, you know, please call in and... the Holy Spirit's tugging your heart, and take that holy boldness and give a call. You'll feel much better when you do. Amen to that.
Amen.
So,
that's right.
All of our callers.
Yeah, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll free at 888-343-2484. I know we talked a little before the show, Father, and you said you had an Otter God, but you didn't want to tell me what it was. You wanted to wait until...
I'll give it, because there's no callers.
Yeah.
I have a little sort of chalice, like where I would keep my relics, you know, with a lid on it. It looks like a little chalice. I keep my miraculous medal in it, Ken, where my first time waking up as a priest and looking at that glittering miraculous medal. You know, the first gift I opened up, and I thought to myself, wow, I got to get a special priest to bless this. Should it be, you know, the pastor, Father Farley, who assisted, helped me to prepare to celebrate my first Mass with all the rubrics, Father McKee, who gave my homily. Who could I get? I said, wait a minute, I am a priest. So I always kept that as my first blessing, made my first sacramental. But also for months now, Ken, there was a rosary of St. Jude that I would hold in there. For some reason today, I opened it up, and I said, I really have to give this to somebody. And I kept thinking about, put it in my pocket, and whoever says St. Jude to me, because it's a St. Jude rosary, you know, it has his medal on it, I'm going to give it to that person. And, of course, I went over for my haircut with Ray's, right across the street, and I often pay him off with miraculous medals, you know, because he won't take any cash. And I always say at the end, I say, keep the change, Ray. But this time I said to him, Ray, tell me, besides Mary and Joseph, who's your patron saint? He said, St. Jude. I said, here it is, right there. I said, was that odd or was that God?
Amen.
And the other one that I shared last night, you know, with the now that I have my golf cart, you know, that I can drive all around the 125 acres of Malvern and meet the people in the past. It's like my portable chapel, you know. So it was delivered on Saturday, and I get in and I take the ride, and it's during the conference, but I'm going down to the parking lot all the way at the end, and I thought, I'm going to run into somebody, you know, because on the front of the car it says, Father Rector, and sure enough, here comes a guy getting out of his car, and I pull over, and, you know, we get talking. He says, oh, you're the rector, yeah, yeah, and we get into it, and the next thing I know, he's just opening up his heart. He said, you know, Father, it's been like 30 years since my last confession. I said, well, hop in. I'll take care of that. And, you know, he said, I got to get that ready, but I'm coming to confession. So he didn't really show up at the penance service, and we had Mass, and I'm praying. I said, I hope he didn't get away, Lord. And sure enough, he came in the sacristy. I'm ready for the confession. And I heard his confession. It was 30 years. And he was so divinely touched with that, you know, that he was telling everybody. He's going from table to table. And people wanted to come to confession more and more. You know, it's that miracle box, you know, where they get the divine touch, that intimacy of Jesus himself. You know, I always promote, you know, at least monthly confession. You know, I want to go every week. Saints went every day. That's how they became saints, for that increase of grace. But, I mean, all the people I meet, I'm going to run right into this guy. If I didn't run into him, he wouldn't have gone to confession, right? He would have been just lost in the crowd, and like he's been doing for all these years, coming to retreat, not going to communion, going home. There it was, you know, that Jesus, you know, wanted me to meet him and hear his confession. And boy, you know, as a priest, I feel like I get touched more, you know, experience Jesus Christ coming through this priest and touching the heart of the penitent. And Sister Faustina always said, Jesus always said to her, that tell the confessor, me, to tell the penitent, you out there, when you come to confession, thank them for coming to confession for me, Jesus says. So when you come to confession, I've been often saying, thank you, Jesus wants you to know, for coming to confession. He's not dying in vain. It's his precious blood poured out on us. It's the best fruitful communion that we can possibly make. It's an extension of Calvary itself that embraces us close to his heart. That hand at the absolution of the priest, the hand of Jesus comes off the crucifix, embraces the heart of that penitent, draws that heart through Mary's heart, St. Joseph, right into his own sacred heart, and to the Father, and to the mystical body of Christ, where all is peaceful, where all is kind, where all is glorious, where all is loving, to be with God himself in those sacraments of his mercy and his love, Ken.
Amen.
So that was my other guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had two of them.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. And I can't think of anything in particular. Just it's part of this being watchful, being attentive that, you know, we're called to do it at during the season of Advent. And again, we're, you know, while we're, you know, waiting, I guess, for the coming of Christ at Christmas. For me, anyway, it's trying to be more watchful and attentive as to what God's trying to do in my life at any in every moment, because it's not, you know, he doesn't come and go. He's there all the time, and whether it's signal graces that are prompting us to pray or to do some action, you know, whatever it is that he's trying to draw our attention to, we need to be aware that he's doing that. And to respond accordingly, and the more I think that we're in tune, and you know, the last Wednesday of the month when we talk about the gift of the divine will, that's kind of what it is when we're living in God's divine will, that we see those subtle signal graces and respond accordingly and invite God into everything that we do, and. What a difference it makes. And like you were saying with the sharing last night that went on, and you know, how blessed are we to be part of a group on a regular basis, whether it's the Tuesday night Calyx meeting or other Calyx meetings, the contemplative prayer group we had this morning, over breakfast after Mass on Thursdays, to be with a group of people that recognize that their whole life is dependent on God. And, you know, it started out that we needed God in order to overcome an addiction or alcoholism or, you know, some affliction, and then realize that not only can God help take care of that, but he can take care of everything if we'll give it to him. And to be able to be with multiple groups at different times each week and listen to people bare their souls about what God's done for them or the things that they're being attacked with, whether it's a spiritual attack or a physical attack, and, you know, turn into some of us in their need To have that kind of group is you can't put a price tag on that. And you know, this radio show hopefully is a part of that. And like you said, if more people call and participate and share their faith, you know, we realize that we're not alone in the things that we face day in and day out. That a lot of us face the same difficulties, the same crosses. And when we witness to one another how we are able to bear those crosses and in some cases overcome them, in other cases learn to cope with them, that it gives other people, you know, the hope that they need, that God will do the same for them. And he will, but we need to be open to it. We need to get those graces that God is offering. I was listening to Daniel O'Connor on the way out today, and he was talking about Jesus and all the grace that he wants to give everybody and how upset he gets because nobody asks for it. And so, you know, as part of your prayer, ask for that grace that your neighbor's not asking for, that your coworker's not asking for, or anybody isn't asking for. You know, Jesus, he's not going to destroy or annihilate that grace. He wants to give it to somebody. So even if you think you've got enough, ask for more. You know, you can never get enough of God's grace.
Yeah. Your love and your grace are enough for me.
Amen. All right. So we said we'd go to, I think, St. Francis Xavier if we had the time. So St. Francis Xavier was born on April the 7th in the year 1506. He would die on December the 3rd in the year 1552. This past Sunday being December 3rd would have been, we would have celebrated his feast day if it weren't a Sunday. At the age of 24, Francis Xavier was living and teaching in Paris, and somehow or other, he became aware of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was not a saint at that time, but was, you know, on the verge of founding the Jesuits. And so in 1534, Francis Xavier would make the spiritual exercises under the direction of Ignatius, and he would join the Society of Jesus. Together at Montmartre, they took vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and apostolic service, according to the directions of the Pope. He was ordained in 1537, coming from Venice. He went on to Lisbon, and from there he would go to the East Indies, landing at Goa, G-O-A, on the west coast of India. He would spend the next 10 years there laboring to try to bring people to the faith, and they would have included the Hindus, the Malayans, and the Japanese. He spent a lot of time in India and would serve as provincial of the newly established Jesuit province in India. He lived with the poorest of the poor. He would share his food and whatever accommodations he had. He would minister to the sick and the poor, and especially lepers. And, you know, it seems like he had very little time to himself, even to say his breviary or to get some sleep, but was always filled with joy. He would eventually go through the islands of Malaysia and then up to Japan, learn just enough Japanese to preach to the simple folk, and would baptize quite a few and establish missions for those who were to follow him. He wanted to get to China, but never did. That plan was never realized. And before reaching the mainland, he would die. His remains are currently in the Church of Good Jesus in Goa, India. And he and St. Teresa Lisieux were declared co-patrons of the missions in 1925. St. Francis Xavier, whose feast day we celebrate on December the 3rd. Father?
Yeah. You know, just when he was sent out to the mission land, he was the greatest missionary since St. Paul. And he was a papal delegate, nuncio, to the Indies, to the East Indies, India, Malaysia, Japan. And as you said, he was off of China. But you know what I remember the most, Ken, is St. Gabriel's here as a kid, grade school. We would have the miraculous medal novena by the Vincentians every year, 9 days, benediction every night, adoration, mass. We'd be in there, two knees, the Blessed Sacrament be exposed all day. And then there was the you know, St. Francis Xavier Novena. And we have that beautiful statue with his hand, you know, sticking up in the air. And that was always intriguing to me. But I always remember that hymn that we always sang. I don't remember, you know, all the lyrics, but it always stuck with me. Like, St. Francis Xavier, oh, pray for us. St. Francis Xavier, oh, pray for us. And it'd be like nice talks from the Jesuits. But it was always the Mass and the adoration, the quiet. I always remember Sister, you know, when we came in, the Blessed Sacrament would be on the altar. She would have the clicker. And when the Blessed Sacrament was exposed on the altar, she would whisper, two knees, two knees. I still hear that from Sister Marie St. Anne, you know. But those 9 days novenas, they were so really powerful and beautiful. And I know we're coming to the end, but I just want to say, you know, we're all called to be saints, and that's how we become saints. It's Jesus Christ who makes us saints. He's the one that restores us and redeems us. We just got to do what he says and go to him. He'll take care of everything. It's a commandment to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father. Well, I can never do that. Of course I can't, but I can let him do it for me. It's a partnership. But he was canonized in 1622, Ken. And it was Ignatius who was canonized, Teresa Avila, Philip Neri, and Francis Xavier. And then this little farmer comes in, Isidore. All the other four, they were like, you know, founders of orders, these big jumbo jets. And this little farmer, you know, just towed the land and plowed the land and becomes a saint. You know, we don't have to be great saints. And, you know, St. Thérèse the Little Flower said that the greatest canonized saints are not the greatest saints in heaven are not the canonized ones, but they're the hidden ones, the hidden ones. But anyway, at the end of his life, looking out at China off that little island, I think it was called Sincian, and he has a candle in his hand, and his last words, Jesus, the Jesuits. And that's how Ignatius of Loyola died, too. You know, the name of the order, Jesuits, Jesus. And that's how he died. And I just want to real quickly read this, Ken, because mm-hmm. the devil's always attacking us. It was December the 3rd from the Jesus calling. Our Lord says, do not be surprised by the fiery attacks of your mind. When you struggle to find me and to live in my peace, don't let discouragement set in. You are engaged in a massive warfare, spiritually speaking. The evil one abhors your closeness to me, and its demonic underlinings are determined to destroy our intimacy. You, when you find yourself in the thick battle, call upon my name, Jesus. At that instant, the battle becomes mine. Your role is simply to trust me as I fight for you. Jesus, 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 Ken.
Amen.
Is it time to give a blessing?
Yes, sir. You got about a minute.
Yeah. Just all those who need prayer. I'm thinking of Bobby Mariotti there and so many of us and Ann McGlone. And so you know, just all those who are out there who are sickly and Chrissy with a special blessing and those who come to us can just might be reassured of his divine presence and that those healing graces and his transforming love. Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And also your brother-in-law, Paul. Dear God, we praise and thank you for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, but for your Son, who's always with us, touching our hearts through his sacraments, through his Eucharistic presence, strengthening us to follow him more closely by the gift of your Spirit, all the way home to you, Father, with all our loved ones in the glory of eternal life, eternal love, eternal peace and glory. And may God bless us all. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father, thank you. And our guests for the 5 o'clock hour, Joseph Julian Gonzalez and Monique Gonzalez are already on the line, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Guadalupe and the Flower World Prophecy. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.